God has been speaking to me a lot about two things, love and character. And I'm convinced that God is more interested in building character in us than blessing us, giving us all these big things. He would rather build character in us. And Richard and I had coffee the other night, and he said to him, to be Christ-like is to be, to have character and not necessarily to do miracles in the Lord's name. And I just had to agree with him. There's this guy in Florida. Many people flew over to him for healings, amazing miracles that took place and healings. But apparently afterwards, I heard that this guy was drunk many times when he was on stage. And after this crusade, he would go to the bar and get drunk. And the people were laughing because this guy is on TV. And then afterwards, he drinks with them. And there was a man who had kidney cancer. And this guy, drunk at that moment, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, kicked him in his kidneys to receive healing. That man died 2 weeks later. And you think, is this about character? Is this God's character to kick someone in the kidneys? Is that God's character? Now, I want to ask you, Joost van der Westhuizen, and will you remember him as one of the best scrum halves South Africa ever had for winning the World Cup 95, for being a Springbok captain? Or will you remember him because his socks he had broken, or his sock on that DVD or that video clip on that was on the internet in the newspapers with that girl taking drugs with her? Or Bill Clinton, will you remember him for his foreign policies? Or will you remember him for Monica Lewinsky and that story? I saw a movie a long time ago, Pulp Fiction, and Harvey Keitel in this movie plays the role of a cleaner. And what he had to do was, look at Nicholas' face, can you watch that movie? That's terrible. I repented of that, Nicola. Harvey Keitel played the role of a cleaner. And what he would do is, after the mafia killed a guy, he would go and remove the body, and he would clean all the evidence so they wouldn't know who this guy was, that the murder took place. And then this man said to him, well, he wants to do this job as well. And Harvey Keitel said to him, you must be a man of character if you want to do this job. And this guy said, but I have character. And Harvey Keitel said to him, just because you are a character doesn't mean to say that you have character. Character is a thing that you do when no one is looking, when no one sees what you're doing, and that thing that you do is character. We at Oden Molen, at our office in Stellenbosch, we rent the school hall of Bloemhof, and they've been giving us a lot of grief. We pay a lot of money rent, and they kicked us out this Sunday. We had to get another place for the Sunday. It was written in the contract. There's so many things that we just felt is so wrong. But anyway, we kicked out. We've got to go to the Nielsi for the Sunday. And then they came to us and said, we must also clean out the storehouse. Now, these guys know it takes two trucks, stop it, put all the equipment in, come back, put all the equipment in again, take it to Oden Molen, take it out, and then Monday we will have to go and bring it back and put it in. And I just said to Salit, no ways, we're not doing it. We're not going to do it. And Andries, who's my boss, a man of character, said, Theo, Jesus said, if someone asks you to carry a load 1 mile, we'll carry it 2 miles. So what did we do? We unpacked it. And many people were upset because we had to do it, but that's a man of character. And I just have to honor him as well for really imparting in my life. In Romans 5, verse 3-5 says that we must rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, I've been King David, or David, the story of David has been in my heart, and I really felt I had to preach about David, and I feel that David was a man of character. And David was the youngest of 8 boys. His father's name was Jesse. And just from what I can see in the Bible, Jesse was a man of character. And his father was Obed, and his father was Boaz. And Boaz was the man that covered Ruth, a man of character. And when you read Solomon's Proverbs, he says, my father told me. And his father was David, and his father probably got it from Jesse, and Jesse probably got it from Obed, and Obed probably got it from Boaz. It was men of character that invested into their sons. Now, at that moment, when David was a young boy, King Saul was rejected by God. And God instructed the prophet Samuel to go to the house of Jesse to anoint the new king. And he came there and he saw all the boys. And you know the story. God said, He didn't look at the appearance, the height, or the stature, because that's what he rejected. That's in 1 Samuel 16. And then he says, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. A couple of years ago, a few years ago, I prayed a scary prayer one night. I prayed, Lord, I can't serve you the way I am. I really want to give all your heart. And you, if you will give me a wife, I will serve you with all my heart. The night before, I was at a wedding, and the dominie said that God didn't like the bachelor. So he gave him a wife, and then afterwards he said, then God said, now I'm satisfied. And he said to this guy, Leonard, God wasn't satisfied with you, and today he's satisfied. When I was sitting in that service, I was drunk. I had too many beers before that time. And as we drove home, I just said to the guys, why do I struggle to find the right girl if God doesn't like a bachelor? And my one friend said to me, focus, because you're not ready for it. And it was like cold water that he threw in my face. And that night, everyone was drinking tequila, and they come and have it. And I just knew something was wrong in my life. That next day, I prayed that prayer because I wanted to serve God with all my heart, but the world was just pulling me in. I was being pulled into the world all the time. My wife, Lynette, the week before that, she also prayed a crazy prayer. She said, Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart if you will give me a godly man. At that stage, both her and me weren't godly at all. I mean, I was so far from godly at all, but God saw in my heart something that I didn't see. And this is where King David comes in. God saw in him that no one else could see. 1 Samuel 16 says, Samuel anointed him as king, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And I really believe that is what made King David different, because the Spirit of the Lord was on him. And interestingly enough, the next verse says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from King Saul, and a harmful spirit entered King Saul that tormented him day and night. And then this demon was tormenting King Saul, and they heard about David, and I asked David, he probably anointed guy like these guys with a guitar, and he would play, and this demon would relax. And David got promotion. The next promotion was he became the armor bearer of King Saul. And then you know the story of David and Goliath. His father, once again an honorable man, said, go and bless the commander of the army and give him a gift, and then take food for your brothers as well. And when he came to the battlefield, he saw this giant Goliath, and he couldn't believe that why weren't they killing him? And you know the story, he took five little rocks and he killed a Goliath. Also interesting, there was five brothers. The Goliath had four brothers that were killed. You can read it in I think it is 1 Chronicles, where the four other giants were killed by David's men. Now, when David approached approached Goliath, he already knew that he had killed a bear, that he had killed a lion, and he knew that God would come through for him. And 1 Samuel 17, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. So David was just a man who knew God. He knew the power of God, and he was comfortable in that position. Now, David to me was just the way he approached people that I can see. He really loved people. And King Saul's daughter fell in love with him, and they got married. But there was a beautiful friendship between these two men that I really, where you can see Jonathan came to him and said, I want to cut covenant with you. I want you, what is mine must be yours, what is yours must be mine. And David was always honorable again to Jonathan and to his children. He always covered him because there was accountability that happened between the two of them. And I want to encourage all of you to be accountable to someone as well, where you can build into that person's life and be that your brother's keeper, to protect and cover that person, that there's always someone that you can go to when you are in a difficult position. Now, King Saul started to hate David. He wanted to kill him. Even when he was tormented by this spirit, he would throw a spear at him and David would duck and he would continue worshipping. But then he realized, Jonathan said to him, my father wants to kill you, you better run. And he flee to Adullam, and 400 men came to David. 400 men that were in distress, in debt, bitter in soul, they gathered to him. And King David captained those 400 men. He also discipled those men. That there was something in David's heart that he knew God. And he imparted that character of God into these 400 men. Those 400 men that were in distress, in debt, bitter in soul, became the 400 mighty men of David. The men that were, the one guy took a spear and he killed 800 men at one time. 800 men at one time. I think Clint Eastwood wouldn't have done that, Mark. Chuck Norris, I don't think in any of his movies he ever came close to killing 800 men at one time. Another guy jumped into a pit where there was a lion and he killed the lion. That same guy killed a man-like figure with a head of a lion. It sounds like Greek mythology, but he killed that man as well. There was three guys, King David, they were in battle and he said, what I wouldn't give for water from that well. And these three men jumped up. They fought their way through the army of the enemy, got water. They fought their way through back and said, my king, here's water for you. And the king took the water and he said, I can't drink this because of you wanting to give your life for me. I'm offering it as a gift to the Lord because I can't take this. There was one of these other men that were in distress that became a mighty man. He positioned himself in the midst of the enemy and he started fighting against them so that the army of David could just regroup and attack them and win the fight. These were mighty men that David had discipled, that David imparted into to become more like who he was, to more like who God was. Then Saul attempted to kill David all the time and he had to flee, but David never retaliated against David. Eventually, 14 years later, King Saul died in a battle with his sons, and David was appointed as king of Judah, and then 7 years later he was appointed as king of Israel. But David also had his mistake. He had this little US incident with Bathsheba. He was in a war situation where he almost got killed, and his men said to him, please, rather stay at home. We can't afford for you to die. So he stayed at home. He was out of the anointing that God had told him to. And what I just see from that as well, that we mustn't listen to what men, or David shouldn't have listened to what his men were saying. He should have listened to what God was saying, because he had the anointing to make war. And he stepped out of his anointing. And when he was out of his anointing, he was sitting on the roof and he saw that beautiful lady and he asked for Bathsheba to come to him, and they had intercourse and she had a baby. And when the prophet Nathan came to him, he realized that God was very unhappy with him. And that little baby died. And David repented because of that. But then what is so beautiful to me is out of that marriage with Bathsheba came the next king, Solomon. So out of the biggest mistake that he made, God still blessed him and gave the kingdom to that son that came. And Romans 8 verse 28 says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. So from me, this man took another man's wife, he made her pregnant, and he still killed her husband. But yet God took that whole thing and he made it to work out for the best, because David had a heart for God. His heart was for God. So it doesn't matter what mistake you've made. When you always come back to God, God will always make that situation to work out for the best for you. Yes, there were consequences to the sin that David had. His son Amnon fell in love with his half-sister Tamar and he raped her. And then Tamar's brother Absalom hated that half-brother of his so much that he killed his brother. And then later on, Absalom conspired against David to become king, and he also died. You know the story where he was hanging in the tree. So David made his mistakes, but the stories that you remember of David weren't the stories of Bathsheba. It was more David and Goliath. the man that really conquered, that conquered the word. That is what I see from David. David to me was a man of character. And from that, there's four things that stands out for me in his character. The first one, he had faith in God. So many times in 1 Samuel you read, and David inquired from the Lord. In everything that he did, David inquired from the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The second thing that I really admire from the man was that he honored God and he honored the authority that God had placed above him. Saul had killed 85 priests. David didn't retaliate against him. King Saul came with all his army to kill King David, but he never retaliated. He had the opportunity to kill him. And then he said to him, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. So how many times don't we feel that we can talk against authority above us, our boss was wrong, and we just speak against him? But David never did that. He gave it to the Lord so that the Lord would come through for him. Also, what really stands out for me is Angus Bachan, just how he honors God. When he prays, he goes on his knees and he takes off his hat because he's honoring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's so beautiful of this man that honors God. When I was in the army, if we saw a woman that was pregnant, we had to salute her because the baby could be the future president of the country. But it's just that honor thing that was instilled in us that I sometimes think that we become very casual before God. We many times stand with our hand in our pocket before God. When we enter worship, we stand like this before God. And it's just, we're just not honoring God. We stand like this with our hands. We actually, where God says, come into my presence. The presence of the Lord is here. And we shouldn't, I just believe we shouldn't be casual when we enter into the presence of who God is. Then David feared God. He had a fear of God and he didn't fear man. There's the story with David when they were still in Adullam with the 400 men, those guys who killed 800 men in one go. He was with those guys and their wives and children were kidnapped and their possessions were stolen. And 1 Samuel 30 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. So he was probably nipping a little bit because these guys wanted to kill him. And he said, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Even though those guys wanted to kill him, David could strengthen himself in the Lord. And then once again he said, and David inquired from the Lord. And the Lord said, go and attack the Philistines. He did, and they found their wives and children unharmed with all their stuff that they found back. So David had the ability to, when things were really tough, he would go and strengthen himself in who God was. Saul, on the other hand, couldn't do that. There's a story where they were preparing for war, and the prophet Samuel said to him, you must bring an offering before the Lord at the appointed time. And they were waiting for the prophet Samuel to come, and he wasn't coming, and his men were starting to run away, and he was getting nervous. So he acted in presumption, and he did the offering himself. And when Samuel said, you have disappointed God. To the outside, it looked like he did the right thing before God, but because he wasn't obedient, he acted in presumption. God was upset with him because he was disobedient to what God had told him, but it was more important for him what men was thinking of him. Also, he put his trust in his men. He didn't put his trust in God. There's another time when God said, take the Amalekites and kill all of them. And Saul was instructed to kill everything, all the stock, but he kept the king because he wanted to show the people how great God was so he could present the king to them. And he kept the best sheep so that they could bring an offering to God for that. And God said to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. And then he said, for rebellion is the sin of divination and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. So because his heart was to bless people and to look good in front of people and not before God, God rejected him as being king. Now 1 Samuel 15 verse 30 says, I have sinned. Now he says that to Samuel. I have sinned, yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel. And then I will return and repent before God. So he wanted to look good before men. He didn't care about what God thought. David was completely the other way around. Then the fourth thing that really stood out to me, David was a worshiper. David knew the love of God because he could worship God. He could come into the presence of God and God could download his love into David's heart. When you read Psalms and you just see praise the Lord with all your heart. Just David's heart was, he was a worshiper. And to me, there's nothing more powerful, more beautiful than a man that can worship God. And Omarke said to us some time ago, he said the best present a man can give his children is to love his wife. But the best present he can give his wife is to love the Lord. And I want to encourage the men as well to become worshippers. Not to be casual before God, but really to enter in that place to worship God. This is where David's strength was. He could worship God with all that he had. 2 Samuel 6 verse 14 and 15 says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod." This man, you wouldn't say to me, he's a sissy. Because he danced before the Lord with all his might. This man who killed a bear, who killed a lion, who killed Goliath, who no one else would touch him. This man could open himself before God and dance before God with all his might. And the rest of the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. David really loved God. You can just see in the Psalms how much David loved God. You can see in Psalm 40 verse 16 says, "But may all who seek and rejoice be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great, great is the Lord." And then Psalm 26 verse 8, "O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." This is such a beautiful verse as well. To me, the habitation of your house. When we come into the presence of God and we come and worship and the Lord's presence is there. God, David loved that place where you enter into the presence of who God is. That place where God's glory dwells. He was someone when he writes to be planted in the house of the Lord. There's a blessing over that. That David's heart was for God and for God for the house of God. Now I believe David's character and the fact that David could love God so much was one reason. He understood how much God loved him. That was his strength. His strength was in the fact that he understood God's love. And he was a leader of leaders because he understood how much God loved him. And that happened when he was still a shepherd boy. He understood God's love. Already there, God imparted into him his love and his whole life. He could disciple those 400 men to become the mighty men of God because he understood God's love for him. And God is not a respecter of people. He loves all of us the same way, every one of us. And there's many of us who are broken and hurt, and there's shame in your life. I mean, with telling stories to you like I was drunk in church, it's not something that I do with pride. It's actually, I'm a little embarrassed about that. But when I started understanding how much God loved me, when I got saved, I was sitting there in Gordon's Bay on the beach, and this one guy, Skulk, he's not prophetic at all, but he just said, "There's one guy here who wants to give his heart to the Lord, and if it's you, just open your eyes." And I opened my eyes, and he was looking at me. And that moment, I just felt God's love coming over me. And that it still motivates me, that moment when I could just experience how much God loved me. In Psalm 26 verse 3 says, "Your steadfast love before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness." Psalm 31 verse 7 says, "I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction, you have known the distress of my soul." Psalm 36 verse 5 says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." Psalm 63 verse 3 says, "Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." And then Psalm 117, "Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all people, for great is his love towards us, and his faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." As I just hand out the communion, and thank you for everyone reminding me. I just want to bring this before God, and I want to trust all of us to come to that place to understand God's love for who we are. You know, I've got this DVD, Furious Love, that I've been giving to a few people to watch, and we watched it last week, and Mark was just saying halfway through we had to stop, and he said, yes, the story is just about demons. He was a bit shocked by it. And then the second half just changed, where this one man, he's a professor in Holland, and he says he did his thesis on spiritual warfare, and he came to the one conclusion that the only weapon that we have against the devil is love. And he says that love, the devil cannot stand love. And I want to say to you, we had to pray for someone that was really, the devil was tormenting this girl. And as we were praying for this, this one friend of mine, he's an older man, he's in his 50s, middle 50s, and his wife as well. They were praying for her, and there was, she was shaking and screaming, but they were holding her and loving her. And that was what set her free. And afterwards, she just came and she just wanted to be held. She's a girl of 19, 20 years old. But as a little girl, she just wanted to be held and be loved. And many times we look at, when people pray for people at foundations, we look at people and we see the demons and we're angry. But that puts people off, because people want to be loved. People want to know that they are loved. And this morning, this evening, I want to say to you that God loves you so much. This morning, my little son saw me and he ran to me and he came and stood here and he just sat here. He just wanted to be with his father. And this is what, and that was just so beautiful. I just came to him and I said to him, Daniel, thank you that you were so obedient to God this morning. And he looked at me. He didn't really understand what I was saying. But it was just such a picture of God's love that he just wanted to sit by the feet of his father. And God the Father just want to say to you, he wants you to come to his feet that he can show you the love that he's got for you. And that love will motivate you in everything that you do, that God is not sin conscious. Even your sin will not freak God out. Just come to his feet. God wants to love on, he wants to love on you. Acts 13 verse 22 and 23 says that Saul was removed by God, and he raised up David to be the king, and whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will. This was about 1,500 years later, where God talks about King David. And he's not saying anything about Bathsheba, but he's just saying, I found a man, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who would do all my will. And then of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a savior, Jesus, as he had promised. So in all that David did, because he loved God and he understood the love that God had for him, Jesus could come through that offspring because of the love that he had. So as we're just going to bring this before the Lord, I just want you to close your eyes. Maybe if you want to stand up as well and just stand before the King of Kings. Not only the King of Kings, but the God, the Father that loves you. And we just want to, Father, we want to say, we just bless you this evening, Lord God. Thank you for your love, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord God, for a revelation, Lord, of your love. That you will just come and love on us, Lord. Just show everyone, Father, I pray, Lord God, for that place where they feel comfortable because they know they are motivated, Lord God, because you love us so much, Lord God. And Father, as we take the bread, Lord God, we thank you that we can be part of your body, Lord God, that we can be part of the body of Christ, that you've died on the cross for us because you love us so much, Father. And we just take the bread and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. And as we take the wine, we just bless God for the blood of the Lamb. We just thank you, Lord God, that we can know that his anointing will destroy the yoke. It's that place where we can know that God's heart is for us and it's not against us. His thoughts are thoughts to bless us and to prosper us. That God says that your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard, your mind can't conceive what I have in store for you. If we can just come to that place where we understand how much he loves us. Father, we just, as we take this wine, we just pray, Lord God, that you will come and fill us with your love, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know, maybe you're struggling to put your faith in God. You don't always inquire of the Lord. And you're just standing here and you know that's maybe something that I should be doing. Or maybe you struggle to honor God. You many times find yourself with your hands folded before the Lord, or you with your hands in your pocket before God. Or you fear men. It's important for you to know that men like you, and you want to be affirmed by men, and you're not really too worried about what God is saying to you. Or maybe you struggle to come into a place of worship. I want to say, if any of those things are applicable to you, that maybe you should come forward, that we can pray with you so that we can trust God to show His love to you, to impart the love that God has for you. I want to also encourage you to open your heart to Jesus tonight. Father, thank you for your blessing, Lord God. Thank you that, Lord God, that as we, that last song that we worship, Lord God, that we can know that you are so amazing, Lord God, because you love us so much, Father. Father, we just want to bless you tonight, and I want to pray, Lord God, for every person who are here tonight, for that encounter with you, Lord. As they lie in their beds, Lord God, that tonight they will dream dreams about you, Lord God, that the women will see that you want to dance with them, Lord God, that you want to, Father, Romans them, Lord God, that the men will sit in that place and understand that our strength will come from the love that you have for us, Lord God. Our success will be because we understand the love that you have for us. If anyone here wants to respond to that call and say they want to run to the Father's feet, like little Daniel, my son, came this morning. He ran to me to come and hold onto my leg, to come and come into the presence of God, to just come and so that Father God can just put His hand on your head and to love on you. If you want to respond on that, I want to invite you to come forward that we can pray with you. And then we just, this before intercession, we also spoke, and I believe that the men should come to a place where we should start looking after one another, to that place where we will keep one another accountable, especially in the area of lust. There are many women who are exposed because men can't relate to women as fathers and as brothers. And maybe you as man wants to make that decision to come forward and say, I'm taking a stand to love the way Jesus did, to love the way a man should love women. To stand, to come forward to that place, to say, I'm going to be a father and I'm going to be a brother to this family in Jesus' name. If you want to make that decision and come forward, that God can impart that in you, to take your role, I also want to invite you to come forward and stand so that we can pray with you and trust God for that impartation. And then there are many women and widows and maybe single mothers who are uncovered in this church. And I believe it's because many of the men are struggling with their relationship because they not understand the love that God has for them. If that is you, if you a lady and maybe you're going to feel, I'm not ready to do this, I want to bless you, we're going to pray with you. But maybe you are comfortable to come forward, that we can pray for you, that we can just give you a hug and just release the love of God over you. I want to invite, maybe there are some single or divorced women that are really lonely. They are lonely and they don't have anyone, and they just want someone to pray with them for their heart's desire. I want to ask you to come forward so that we can just pray with you. Can we just do that last song as well? Thank you, Lord God. We just bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.